keep a block with you, and may all your elements, but we'll just hear for a key for later. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, it says, "Are they servants of Christ? Paul said, I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, aren't I? With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and night I was adrift in the sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety from all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and not made indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor, the king Artaras, was guarding me in the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands." And I was just praying for communion this morning and just thinking about it the last few weeks. Paul went through incredible hardship, but that looked like nothing compared to the cross. He's beaten to the point of death. He's succumbed to living in the sea, not knowing how to survive a day and a night. He's shipwrecked. He's all these things, but it looked nothing compared to what Jesus endured on the cross. And as we take the blood this morning, and as we receive the body of Jesus, the emblems, may we be reminded this morning of what He did for us and the magnitude of that, that far outweighs any trial, any tribulation, any season, anything that you are going through. Jesus paid a greater price. And so I pray for us this morning that we have courage to know that in the midst of trial, and in the midst of turmoil, and in the midst of things not looking like they should, we would remember it accounts for incomplete nothing compared to what He did on the cross. And we can go further than that this morning, but we can actually go past that and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that the cross where you pay the ultimate price, I can receive fullness of life, fullness of joy, fullness of everything because of what you paid for." And I remind us as a family this morning that we did nothing to get saved. We did nothing to get saved. It's all on our King and our friend. It's all on Him. It says this is the best way. Jesus said the best. He said, "Listen, for the joy set before me, I endured the cross." And I want to explain some good news this morning to you. The joy that was set before Him was you. How good is that? The joy that was set before Jesus was humanity. Was every son, was every daughter that had ever been born before Jesus and was going to be born after Him. He found that as complete joy in giving up His life. So as we come for communion this morning, as we have the elements of His blood and have the elements of His body, this sacred exchange that has been taking place since that upper room, that room where Jesus and His friends, where He broke bread and He gave thanks. I pray this morning as we do that, that the power of God's Spirit would remind us of the magnitude of the cross and what was won at that place. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished in such a way that it's never going to be finished again. Jesus is not coming back to the earth so we can die again for our sin. It is finished, and it was once and for all. And so I pray for you today that the Son of Righteousness would shine upon you. that the joy that was set before him would empower you and enrich you to go further and wider and deeper and higher than you've ever gone before with the Lord. And I feel like a few weeks ago when this song started to be sung, I feel like what we're going to sing now is it's really Sanctuary's anthem. This is our anthem. A lot of places have an anthem where they feel like a song has been moved into them, and I believe this is the one that has been moved into us. There's, you know what, we have outrageous worship, and I'm so thankful for everyone. And I'm so thankful for this. Sometimes the Spirit highlights a song. And I just want us to go into this place of worship now in reverence to the Lord. As we receive communion, as we take upon the body, and as we take upon the blood of Jesus this morning. So we thank you, Lord. We just want to worship now before Michael comes. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Michael has spent so much time just investing in This is important. And so, yeah, just open our hearts and our ears and our eyes today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Just that word Yahweh, just love, just my interpretation of what I had revealed to me once with that. I am who I am, and I am for you. I am for you. I am giving myself for you. Partake for you to eat, for you to dwell in, for you to consume, for you to have me, for you to be like me, for you to be with me. I am for you. And get this right, I am not against you. I am not against you. So I am who I am. I am for you, and I am not against you. I love that. Whenever I hear the Lord's name, I just meditate on that. Just think always about how he is just always fighting for us, loving us. Now, I don't think everyone's going to get everything that's going to be said today, but I think everyone will get something. And so together, we'll get it all.
Amen.
So trust in one another, that we'll all be built stronger today.
Amen.
From our place of weakness in some areas, we'll be strengthened. And it'll be a combined corporate effort. I'm just going to read a little bit, because some of this is a little bit heady, because a lot of this stuff that happens for us happens as our mind is renewed. So just was watching this movie with Esther the other day, on the basis of sex, and there was this one line in there, and I went looking on the internet for that one line quote. All those people that put down the famous quotes from movies, they missed this one. It was such a great quote. The law is not moved by the weather, but the law will be moved by a climate of error, by a climate of err. The law is moved by a climate of err. I thought there's so many ways you can hear and think of that. You know, the Judaic law wasn't moved by the weather. It's still not. People still practice it. But the law, the spiritual law, the word of God, was moved by the climate of our sinfulness. And so there's a new law. And how do we draw that down? We can't. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the blood of the cross. But our partaking in that is to allow that to happen. So it's a permission that we continually give, and we're at war in the middle of all that. You see, the fruit formed by the Holy Spirit within us is divine love. In all its varied expressions. Joy overflowing. Peace that conquers. Patience that withstands, kindness in action, life full of goodness, faith that predominates despite the circumstances, gentleness of heart, a character that is strong. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Adam said that this morning. No matter how much we leak, the Spirit just keeps pouring, it's just limitless, just limitless. So the law is not moved by the weather, but the law is moved by a climate of earth. So this tumultuous turnaround ready to happen for every single person, because God is moved by the climate of love. The Spirit in us is not moved by changing circumstances, that being God's Spirit. The Spirit in us is moved first by mercy, and flows to righteousness, to blamelessness, a righteousness that is not a worldly sense of perfectionism. Okay, we don't have to get it all right, because this is holiness. This is God's mercy working towards us being righteous, and it's always a state of art. But it's completing, and it's finishing, and it's moving. Our minds are a place for discerning God's will. Our mind is our mind. our will is not God's will. Though we choose and learn to align with God's will, our mind is a place of understanding and knowledge of God's will in our lives. It is often to do with relationships as well as our way of thinking. So it's on all the time, not just once a week, not just when we pray. It means we are pressing into the scripture, learning to pray constantly in a way that's real, not rigid. So learning to allow the word to absorb in us, to be ourselves in all circumstances. As members of body, his body, our behaviour changes, often as a result of a transformation. This is the bequeath, the inheritance of God's Spirit. It happens as we become more and more aware of our conscience being joined rather than being seared. So always building to understand the mind of Christ. And once we do that, we align the Spirit with our behaviour and we're a new people. A few slides just to help us get through some of the thinking. There in John 1 is us. Those who embrace him and take hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God, that deposit. Now, if you had a wedding ring, mine doesn't have that, get that one there. Something engraved, our names inside. You know, our names inside. This is where our names are actually in the scripture. Every single one of us are in that most popular selling book across the world. For all time. Our names are there. We are the ones who took hold of his name. We are the children of God. That's each of our names individually written. I love that. That we are written there. In that book. And there's the fruit. Formed by the Holy Spirit within us. God's divine love. You see, it's not just about us partaking and eating of those fruits. It's about God, when he sees us having joy for us, conquering us with his peace, withstanding our impatience with his patience, looking at our actions and being kind towards us. When we want to predominate, his goodness and his faith falls into place. Where our heart isn't gentle, his gentleness finds a new spring. Where our character is weak, he finds strength. We never set the law above these qualities, for they are limitless. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. Not even those eyes. Anyone know whose eyes they are?
Ellen.
Huh?
Ellen?
Ah, good guess, it's been my
Ellen DeGeneres?
No, it's not. They look ugly, eh? I don't think they're really attractive
they're
eyes.
The best
eyes. No, not the best
that's
eyes.
That's not sleep.
No, yeah.
Oh, they're Don's eyes.
They're Nicole Kidman's eyes. Nicole Kidman's eyes. But Jesus, the beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father, held close to his heart, he has seen the Father. And now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. What? We're seeing God in lots of ways. How do we see God more and more? I was in a prophetic church. Like our kids practice their worship in a prophetic church as well, in another church. And we joined them, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I went into that prophetic worship and began to see these tanks. And I thought, whoa, what's going to happen here? Like, just saw it in the spirit. What's going on here? This is going to be a really big victory today. And as I prayed with the Lord and prayed in the spirit, I got led to that man. That surrender. It wasn't about the warfare, it was about the surrender. the surrender of our hearts, because it is to His glory that He does the fighting for us. He is the one who brings down the principalities. He is the one that drives out the evil curses. He is the one that deals with spirits that invade us. He is the one. And in that place of worship, where we lay our lives down and surrender, that takes place. It's a funny photo. It's an interesting photo. You know, China Church is massive. The secret church of China, Christ's church of China, is massive. We don't know anything about that guy. Hey, we'll look into what was this picture, because the image, of course, is powerful to me about surrender. But, you know, that was a courageous moment. I'd have to think he was one of the secret Christians. He didn't plan that. You know how you know? He's got his shopping in his hands. He's walking home from the markets, just trying to go home, and the tanks have interrupted, and the disruptor has disrupted him, and get going to this. It must have been overwhelming and strong for him to put that faith into practice. No one knows who he is. He's gone and lost. He never said, oh, that was me in that photo. I guess you wouldn't in China.
Yeah,
he did. The photographer was a Yankee guy, and he was up in a student's room just across from Tiananmen Square. And that was all secretive. But that guy was there as an overseas foreign exchange student, and he'd allowed the reporter to come into his place because it looked like a good shot. When he got in there to take the photos, he didn't have any film in his 36, you know, 35mm. He didn't have it. He only had like a video camera. But this was shot for 35mm. He asked the student, could you possibly go back out and try and get me some film? Because I can't, because now I'll risk being identified. It's hard enough to get in here. I'm not going out looking for film as well. So he stayed up there in the room, and the film came back 3 hours later. The guy came back with the film. Just one film. 35mm. Just one. It was like 24 shot, wasn't even 36 shot. He said 24 shot film he came back looking 3 hours to get, and he loads it up and he gets this shot. Do you remember what he did next? Does anyone remember that little scene that he had? If we had the faster internet, we could have rolled it. But no, other people had laid down. You know what happened to them? They'd been squashed. He's alive. So what he did after that, he engaged the heart, obviously, of that person in there, in that tank, by looking at him and going, look, I'm a human, I'm China, I'm walking home from the shops, and you're doing this to me. The tank finally stopped as it edged up to him. He looked it in the eye. He looked the man inside that tank in the eye, to the very white of his eye. No shaking, stood fast. And when it finally stopped, he jumped up on the tank, waiting for the man to come out from the little hole. And he just stood there, he didn't go like la-di-da, he just waited, he was still like, I'm confronting the man behind here, I want to meet you. And then we lose the people. So he took it on, and it wasn't like it was simple. That was the scene, you can see the marks on the road. That's what was going on in the days of his day before, or the same day. There's the tanks rolling down. It's imposing for a man with a shopping bag walking home from the shop. It's a little bit like what we're going through, isn't it? In some ways. Like we're a remnant in this country. As the days before. Sometimes those, you can look at this another way, sometimes those tanks are the way of the world personally coming into us. And God asks us to surrender. Stop trying to battle against this on your own. Let me look into the light of your eyes. And let's claim back that word holiness for what it looks like. A release of the beauty of God's will in our life. Let's not let go in the storm. If you want to do that to you, just let go. That's a 80 knot to 100 knot wind. It's big and strong, that wind, and that's a really surging sea. But he's out there because he's ready. His equipment is good. He's fit, he's prepared, and he's able. And when we're taking on those battles in our life, we need to be putting ourselves in that position of being fit and being ready and being able. It's in the waiting sometimes. And sometimes it's like that guy, I need to put into action right now and standing by that tank. That's what it's meant to look like when you harness the wind. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemy. Look, it's so casual, so relaxed. Just a hand just out in the water. The wind is probably about 35, 40 knots. So it's pretty strong wind still. But there's a place when you get like that, and that's the anointing. You can be in that spot on that board, and the weight that you're feeling is minimal. There's nothing to it. Because everything's working in your favour. The wind is working in your favour. There's no battle going on there. And it's the most, it's why guys do it. It's the most exhilarating moment of the whole ride. Is when you harness it all and get it together. And as we allow our hearts to be purified, we move and see that mood of God. We don't see the circumstance so much. We see the mood of God in our life and are able to stand in those circumstances. And where does it bite most? Probably in the home life. Mostly in the home life. Now, it takes two to tango. It takes one to bring peace. Who's the one that's going to stand this time? Let's argue for that next time we have a dynasty. Let's argue for who's going to call for peace first? Who's going to break this into the fruit of the Spirit first? I'll fight for that. And break that into a whole new way. You want to eat the fridge, Tom? Go. Eat it all. We'll fill it up again. No worries, I'll go out and do that all again for you. Just raise the hallelujah in the presence of enemies. Amen. And flying high. Harnessing it to a new level. So in our time, you see Malachi talk about our time, Luke talk about our time, and there's been these times before when the parents' hearts are turned to the children. Where the mature in the Lord are turned to the immature in the Lord. Where the immature in the Lord love to learn more of the maturity of the Lord. And there's a coming together and that place of the psalm where we dwell in unity. There my Holy Spirit is poured out. Whoa, there is my Holy Spirit poured out. Elijah, it's said, needed Elisha even more. Because Elijah was, believe it or not, a bit of a grumpy old man. Though he had a vision from God and he was mightily anointed, he didn't necessarily have a circumstance that drew out from him the nice man that was there. And so the Lord gave him Elisha. who the Father's heart was drawn out towards him. No wonder there was a double anointing that came. This is for us. This is for us. We're birthing here with open arms and open hearts and not looking at who we are, but on the will of God at a time such as this. To receive what it is, not what we think it is. When we're praying for the baby to come, did you ever think the pathway was going to come around the way it came around? And yet the answer to the prayer is here. God's got his own way of answering. He's got his own character. And he'll often prove that time and time again. But the prophetic voice amongst us will probably give us some guiding lights. Some benchmarks. That same word is the rhema. You heard that word before, the rhema, where you personalized it. And sometimes we put the logos there and say that's the general word of God. John 3:16, the general word of God. But it's the same word of God. The logos and the rhema is together. It is the word of God. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. It's not something different. The same Spirit that's living in us is the one that watched Jesus die on the cross and testifies to us that it actually happened for the purpose of setting us free. It's just a way of just growing in the Spirit, of continuing to delve into the mystique of God's presence with us and then holding fast to it. And that's the culture of community, that they support us in holding fast to that and growing in that. And this anointing, the double portion, grows. If you want to look at a book about where a sanctuary is, Thessalonians 1 and 2, and 2 Thessalonians. It's a real good read of the heart and where we are at this present time. Let joy be the continual feast. Make our life a prayer. In the midst of everything, always give thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for us in Christ Jesus. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's not religious. It's the root word of religion. Relationship. We claim back relationship. We claim back the word religion. Only because when we put the Facebook site live, it went religion.
I know. Isn't there another category?
But we know the root word of that word religion is relationship.
Yeah.
So we sing a new song. It's time for that brand new song, continually being released. In brackets I put, let it bless the Lord. Let it be a sweet aroma, unique and precious to our God. That moment when you look into the Lord's eyes from the white of your eyes or evident to him, let that be sweet. I dare to look upon you, Lord Jesus. I dare to let you see me. Let me be transparent in the presence of your love. He enjoys the faithful lovers, the adorning of the humble. With his beauty and his love, he gives us each the victory. He shares the victory. We don't claim the victory. We die to ourselves and then we share in the victory.
Yeah.
In between, the mind can play dangerous games, but we don't let that happen. You don't want to be in that place where you take on that stuff. Just let it burn in the Spirit. Let him burn the principalities and the darkness. Let him do that, because that's the glory settler. And you partake in that victory. His godly lovers will triumph in the glory of the Lord. Their praises rise high. Even while others sleep, we move on. God's high and holy praises rise up in our mouths, for our shouts of praise are our weapons of war.
Amen.
And we know it's not just a shout in the assembly. That word shout is the deepest awe inside you. What you really go after, whether you're a quiet person and do it privately, that's the shout. That shout is that deep, where do you want to be? Where do you want to break through? You want to get that rhema happening? Well, guess what? Did the logos happen? Did the Word come flesh? Did Jesus get born? Did he get crucified as the Old Testament said it would? Yes, it all happened. And the rhema that you have, will it be a part of that? Yes, it's the same. It's the same. It will come to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Leon's here. Yeah. Let him roar.
Yeah.
Such roaring weapons bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resisting power. It binds the kings and the rulers with iron shackles. You know the Rocket Man? I don't know, did you ever pick up on that change of heart the Rocket Man had in Korea? That Bethel prayed for like 4 months before that and interceded that when the Rocket Man was speaking with his rhetoric, they said, no, let's just make it that the Lord's going to appear in his bedroom. Let's just make it that angels are going to come and minister to you. Let's see something happen. That's all they did. But they were intentional for 3 or 4 months. And next thing, there was a breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know? So that just brought that to mind, that scripture. Our weapons of warfare will even bind kings and rulers with iron shackles. It will enforce the righteousness of God's judgment decreed against our enemies. It will come to pass.
Yes.
This is the glorious honor he gives us to share in that, his godly lovers. Heartfelt worship, heartfelt praise are a counter to that work of the enemy. The release is only for the glory of God. Persevere. You know you're heading to a storm. You're equipped by the Spirit within you, by the expressions of God's love in the fruit of the Spirit. Eat of the fruit. Pick up your equipment and walk into that battle with a smile and a grimace.
Yeah.
And go, I'm coming through it, because it's declared I will partake in the victories of the Lord.
Mm.
Always do what is right. Probably the hardest battle, even when others aren't watching. Be assured that anything you do is beautiful, anything you do that's beautiful or excellent, you will be repaid by our Lord. It will come to pass. The surrender flag of the blood of Jesus against the storm. What an idiot. The last little bits. Paul writes this, he said, this is the end of Ephesians. Most importantly, I'm leaving these truths to last. Be supernaturally infused with the strength through the union of life with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete armor. It is provided so as to protect you in the fight against the strategies of the accuser. Our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, it is with the highest principalities and authorities that operate in rebellion under the heavenly realms. Some people talk about that being the second heavenly realm, whereas we're on the third heavenly realm and the Lord God in the first. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Paul saw it, and you know, we kept so many busy distractions we probably can't perceive it all the time.
Yeah.
But if Paul was talking about it, we can testify, according to his testifying, that it's there.
Yeah.
Those dark things are there. We don't see it all, but the Lord sees it all. And so in our worship, in our laying down of our life, in our surrender, in letting the Lord see the light of our eyes, we find that place. That place of safety against the strategies of the accuser. We must wear the armour. God provides it so we're protected as to confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things, and you will rise in victory. Now that image of that man again, going out with the blood flag. Standing. I will stand against this. I will come through this. Because it is written, I am destined for all things, and I will rise victorious. Truth. Holiness. Stand ready and alert. Be ready to share the blessings of this in your life. Bring peace. In every battle, take faith. It extinguishes the blazing arrows. Embrace the power of God's salvation. Full deliverance. It's a helmet to protect you. Take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of the Lord God. Here, when Stephen was martyred, we see that lead up of all those things. The hypocrites were coming against him and putting him down, blocking their ears. And Stephen sees this. You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But when the battle is on, he rises. He stands. He comes around the edge of the throne. He looks upon us and he goes, remember my presence. He puts his foot on what's cursing you and squeezes it down a little bit. But he stands. He doesn't sit back. Stephen saw him stand. He stood up. And Stephen said, I can see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father, and he welcomes me home. Sting of death gone. Didn't look like it, but it was experience. We've got the lion within us. Sometimes sleepy, but just as fierce. That lion is, sometimes we wait to see the circumstances change, but it's a lion within us that wants to raise that voice and go to everything within us that is not of God. I want to let out a roar. I want to let out a holy roar and subdue every little thing that is not of my kingdom. Who does this? The red one. Revelations. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. So that he is the one who can open the scrolls of the seven seals. He's that one. What we can do is notify sin. It won't be coming with us. It's not coming to glory. So don't be shackled around me. Get off me. I want to be set free now. I want to start experiencing it. I want to walk in it now. For the benefit that it can bring others, if not beyond yourself. So the fruit is formed. Eat of that fruit. Eat love when you need it. Eat joy when you need it. Eat peace, patience, kindness. Eat goodness. Eat faith. Eat gentleness. Eat strength. Let these characters come upon us and build us as that people that God wants us to be, and never think it has to be perfection. It's a swirl of holiness in our midst. But it is a roar. It's not a church, just a church. It's not just a movement. You belong, just as your arena belongs to Logos, your church belongs to the kingdom. It's a kingdom movement. You belong to a kingdom that is sustained by the blood of Christ, by the will of God the Father, by the move of the Holy Spirit. So there, as we come to an end, the word of God is in each of us. It's not moved by circumstances. But God with us is moved by our willingness in every circumstance. God is moved by our willingness in every circumstance to keep choosing life, to choose the fruit. So, be transformed afresh. Be refreshed. Let the Holy Spirit move amongst us. Go home by now, be wrecked. Let God just dwell with us. To keep working with us. And keep allowing your mind to be surrendered to the Word of God. To the love of God. To that relationship. To let God see the very light of our eyes. Yeah. just come afresh to you, Lord.
Yes.
Just thank you for your move of your spirit in us.
Yes.
We just bring that surrender to you afresh.
Yes.
Thank you for all the victories that we have seen every time we stand on a tank. Every time you give us courage. Just ask for that release afresh. That we would know that we know that we know. That the word that you give us is already destined there. And it will happen. Bring our loved ones. That we would be a person who stands in their life. That ministering angels would come and support us and fight for them. You've got an army ready to be released. We ask you to surround us, Lord, in our relationships. That we would be ready to stand in what you call us to be. Gentle? Strong, always on their side, but always ready to bring the word, Lord, that is your word.
Yes.
More you want to be among us.
Yes.
Wherever we see a tank, Lord, it's finances, it's sickness, it's depression.
Yes.
You stand on it, Lord. Look it in the eye. Just like that man. Enough is enough.
Yes.
We're living a kingdom life. Where sin's got a hold of us, we ask for new habits, new grace, and be pleasing in your eyes. Where sin holds us back, thank you for your patience, Lord. Unrelenting, you do not let us go. You chase us down. Make it quickly, Lord. You turn. Look at you, sir. You've got those words that come to you. Just remember, that's what you're going to hold now. And a hold till you get to your next one. Set that one down, Lord. Let's bring that convicted by your spirit. Celebrating in the above. You're going to bring us into a new place. One of the things that the Holy Spirit's been working in our group has been those prophetic words. So remember, when you have those prophetic words, church time continues outside as well. And you might need to be able to release that for somebody and bring them that encouragement.
Yeah.
It can be stronger than that. We'll work out how to deliver those. But obviously, sometimes it's overwhelming words, and we need to find a way that those words to everybody and have a sense of discernment that you know is right. Fivefold ministry. Imagine that that would be a true church. The Lord would birth that. Fivefold ministry church. And that you're experiencing that. Don't go anywhere yet. Miss an opportunity to be a part of something that only maybe comes once or twice in your life. So as you get called to go,
now.
Remember when they persecute you? And you stop and think about it? Why did I pop that? Was that really because I lived a Christian life? Thank God. You want to whip me again? Because if it's that, we know that's good. Imagine Paul up to that. Oh.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he took on the principalities.
Yeah.
He was willing to lay his life down to that point.
Yeah.
A living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
So good, thank you.
What we don't normally see happen is, I'm just going to ask Michael some questions, isn't it? I'm going to do this about, as an elder, what do you feel like is the greatest treasure that the Lord's releasing in our midst? What is that?
Look, I think it's that Elisha and Elijah thing is a really strong thing because it's in the mystique. You know, the Lord works in the mystique often. So when we see fathers and mothers' hearts turning towards nieces and nephews, other people's children, young people, Zeke coming in, the way Zeke, like on the men's meeting,
yeah.
You know, when we went away, how Zeke came, like, what the heck, Zeke? Like, he's like on his own. And he had like the best time. He didn't expect it, but it was a transformative time. So there's something about that place.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that, you know, we those words of prophecy, those words of encouragement that come.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when I just like the saying that, you know, you look good today, that's like a gentle prophetic word, isn't it? It's a word of encouragement. I'm going to hear that in a YouTube shop.
Yeah.
You know, there's these little, tiny, subtle places of love being given expression.
Yeah.
And so there's a wisdom. So we have like a wisdom dimension and a power dimension. And sometimes the wisdom dimension needs to be built really strongly because you don't want to be lost in that power dimension.
Yeah.
But because you can't control the power dimension anyway. But the wisdom dimension can be built by our will, and then the power dimension just falls in anyway. Because it's the same, just like the Logos doesn't separate from the Rhema. It's the same.
Yeah.
Thank you. How do people actually, when something unusual happens in the spirit, how should people deal with that in our midst, like in this time we're living?
You're not talking about just in the church.
No, like, so something we've been praying for, unusual things happened in the book of Acts, that unusual miracles broke out.
Yeah.
But what do the people do with that? How do they process it well?
You've got to just come back and just see the character of God. I just go, like, there's the character of God working in my midst, and I've got a pure enough heart that I can see this happening. So, again, it's a thanksgiving. Like, you purified my heart enough to see the answer to that prayer. And I'm seeing this in the midst, and I go, like, whoa. You know, like, for example, you know, I'd love to vote Labor, but, you know, overwhelmingly Liberal. Get it? You know, one of the things that is a clear thing about that is that with a Liberal government in New South Wales, we can't get a national okay if Labor won another national win. We can't get across the line abortion on demand in hospitals. You know, I'd love to vote Labor, but you can't. I mean, that's the situation. So you have these eyes, these heart, and you go, it's like, okay, there's a block there. There's something good in that happening. You know, don't take away, you know, get ready to build a city to 8 million is a good idea, because I think about this. 15, 16 years of Labor put on their thumbs and fighting wasn't good. You know, that's the thing. And that's a move of God.
Yeah.
That's God saying, I'm not giving up on this track.
And one of the things that we've been praying about and thinking about as well is how does, like, what do you feel is really healthy to help us grow in humility? Because as the power of God pours out, and fanfare comes around, and you get fans of revival, how do we continue to grow in humility in that place?
And that's really the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? It's going like, I'm going to bite into the fruit of the Spirit afresh. How do you do that? Without getting all up to you. When we grind ourselves in that, we know that. And that's possibly what's happening. That you're going to have a group of people who are foundational, who are going to hold one another to account of humility all the time. And then that's not going to get reduced. So it's about that surrender. Humility is an interesting word to look into deeply, because you can't get soft in it. It's a strength. Humility is not a meekness. I mean, meekness is not a weakness, is it? Humility is kind of like a meekness. You know, the bridle horse. You know, I have this pride growing up in me, but I'm not letting it loose because I'm turning it into this meekness that allows the Holy Spirit to work. I know where it's coming from. I know it's the move of God. We've laid down our life so that other people can come to worship. You know, if they only want to get touched by God for 6 months and move on because they needed the healing in their life, that's okay. So it's all those perspectives. I think a godly perspective in understanding where a church is at is all you need. And you can't let anything creep in. And one of the things that creeps in is prior sin. But once you've repented and faced the Lord, look the Lord in your eyes with prior sin, you're free of that.
That's good. I'm going to send to you guys and say, I've got one more. Sometimes the Lord releases a storm into your life to protect you. How do we identify sometimes it's the Lord still protecting us, not the enemy still trying to destroy us?
It is. Because we know those things are out there to get us. And they're out there to bring us down. So how do you make something better? I think you know the difference because some destroy you. And if they don't destroy you, you know that's the Lord helping you avoid.
That's good. So I've been thinking about the whole notion where, you know, you're like, oh, you're pushing through this, you're trying to get to this place. And Lord, let the Lord restrains you. It says that in the book of Acts, all through the Testament, that Paul was restrained by the Holy Spirit. What did that look like when he went to go into a town and the Holy Spirit goes, no, I'm full of faith and power. I'm going to go in there and change the world. And he's like, he had such discernment and such a relationship with Jesus that he's able to go, oh, yeah, okay, I won't go in there. Like, you don't hear him battling with the Holy Spirit going, no, I'm full of power, I'm going in there. Like, it's amazing how he just, that storm was like, okay.
Whereas when you like whipped, then he's getting destroyed. So he's gone through another thing there.
I wonder as a Jew if he was actually counting the lashes, because he would have known there was 39.
Yeah.
That's 26.
It's getting less and less. That's
good. One less every time.
Cups falls out of flow, it's getting less and less. Thank God, it's the last one. Oh, I missed that.
Are there any questions? I think it's a good time. If you have any questions about anything, we don't get often get eldership to be able to speak about stuff, so I thought I'd put it on the spot a bit.
One place of all.
In the Spirit. So if you have a question, feel free to ask it. You might get an answer or not. Are there any questions people want to ask?
I think people here have got like a prophetic voice growing. Do you know that? Does anyone notice that they've got other ministries, other things growing in their life? Healing? Evangelism?
I found that as we grow as Christians, sometimes it takes a really long time to get to the point to actually see growth in your Christian life. And a lot of that times is because you have not been I'll use the word inspired. By other Christians. And I found that it's like when you come to a place like this where people are eager to use their gifts and eager to see people grow in what God has gifted them with, that is then when you realise that yes, I have those gifts but I haven't been using them.
Yeah.
And I think we've all got gifts that we don't even know that we have, but we haven't really been put in a place where we can let those gifts flourish. And I really believe that this place, us, these people, is the place where those gifts can flourish. And I really believe the Holy Spirit has placed us in this place. I know I'm using this place and place a lot, but has placed us here so that we can be encouraged to find those gifts, to use those gifts, to even see those gifts that we never had before. And I only say that because I know that's happened to me. Only in these last 2 years, I've seen things in my life change.
You'd be surprised how much your life testifies to others around you.
Amen.
That move of the Spirit, like.
Yeah, that may be so.
It is so.
Probably don't, I don't see
it. No, you don't, but I'm just saying.
Receive.
Or anybody. I imagine
it. Save it. Claim it.
I remember when I was
about
this age, you got hit by the Lord. Some of my closest friends hopped into their car and went like, "What's happened to your car?" And then they turned to me and went like, "You're a different man." In like 3 days, because the car didn't have like milkshake stuff flying. You know, it didn't look like the tip. And just like that, and that was a characteristic of what had happened in me as well. You know, it had been cleaned up inside, and so was my car.
Yeah,
wow. And it was just hit there, and they were in hard place. But yeah, that's both of them.
It's amazing.
And then I gave an opportunity to make bang.
Imagine how God uses people around you to change the circumstances you're in.
Yeah.
And how He can bring you from one place to the next. And you don't even see the movement, but yet it's there, it's happening. It's like a wind blowing. In the old analogy of the wind, you can't see the wind, but you know it's there because you can feel it.
It's a culture, isn't it?
And it's the same as we all know that's how the Holy Spirit moves. You can't see movement.
And what we have here, like what we see when we go to fellowship, and you know, we've all got to get over our little things that we bring to how do we do fellowship properly and grow in that, and you see a lot, and we're doing a lot of that, but isn't that what everyone in the Blue Mountains wants? Like, everybody in the Blue Mountains wants it.
Yeah.
And we've got it.
Yeah.
We're not just remaking the robot.
No. It's good.
Yeah. But we're going to be victorious in every time. Not just as our destiny, these things won't break us.
Mm-hmm. Question, Jack?
Hey, Michael, what have you found has worked for you in your journey where now you use the analogy of like going to a bushwalk or something, and you're coming up to the mountains, you've got to really put some motivation and drive in, so you steam up there like a goat, right?
Yeah.
So you've got that drive, and it's like when you become a new Christian that, okay, I've got to find all I need to know about God and experience God and do all of that. And you get to the top of the mountain, and then you're going maybe down the other side of the mountain to the valley. So you go, again, it's more, there's this energy, there's adrenaline, if you like. And then, like later on, after you've experienced God, you've maybe had some blessings, and you've had things maybe, and then you come to a point where you're just doing life, and it's kind of right now you hit the plateau.
Yeah,
maybe down in the valley, and it there's a long walk of a plateau of it.
Yeah.
How have you found in your journey of keeping that same energy and drive when you wanted to get up that mountain, like the mountain goat.
Yeah.
You know, when you saw the other side, you're just like, oh, also I'm just going to let gravity take me and just run down the other side.
Yeah.
And then you hit plateau, and it's the first part of the plateau might be right, and then it's in the last, you know.
Yeah.
And how do you keep that same sort of energy?
It's an interesting question, yeah. Like, this is only my answer, and it's not the all and behold of it all, you know. But it's that vision, isn't it? How important is that vision of what's next? You got to go find another storm. You're equipped now to go to another level. You know, that's why guys surf 100-foot waves in Nazaré in Portugal, because they're equipped and being equipped. And what am I going to conquer next? Oh, there you go. That's my baby. I'll take that one on.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so...
So, Chair, I can get the windsurfer now.
That was good, eh?
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to pray. We might sing and just worship him again, and then we'll have some fellowship time together. If you want prayer for anything, then please let us know. Also, if there's something burning in a desire in your heart, like a dream or a passion or a ministry, and you feel like you're led to it, then please write it down, put it in the offering box so we can contend with you, so we can pray with you for that. Sometimes when we live in a prophetic church, it's like, oh, they don't know what I'm doing because they're prophets. That's not actually true. And so if you have something that you're like, I'm just burning with a passion to do this, it's impossible, but I know God's called me to it, then we'd love you to write it down, put it in there with your name on it, and so we can at least start to contend with you for that thing to come to pass. So just do that today. Feel free to do that today. We say, Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We thank you for Michael. We thank you for every person in this place today. And we praise you, Father, for half of our family, Lord, that's not with us today. We pray, Lord, wherever they are today, that the power of your Spirit will continue to take them higher and wider and full up with you, God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll continue to take us into the Word and reveal your truth. It says that you were brought to earth to give us everything Jesus ever said. To reveal Jesus to us.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, we thank you for the revealing that's happened today. We pray, Father, we wouldn't have any cowardice in looking into your eyes as you look into our eyes, God. And so, Father, I pray that what has been given to us today through your son, Michael, that we would take and that we would eat of it, that it would be great fruit in our life. And it would spur us on to the places that we're going. And we keep hearing this statement, Lord, you're saying to us as a family, that places unseen and realms unknown. And so we just embrace that where you're taking us and what you're doing with us is going to be exceptional and beautiful. And so we just thank you for today, Jesus. Every person that's helped, every person that serves, every person that is behind the scenes, every person that is in the limelight, in the spotlight, and every other light, we just thank you, Jesus. As a kingdom family, we can worship you together in spirit truth. And so, Lord, as we worship, people come for prayer, whatever your needs are, we want to meet them with Jesus today.
Yes.
So we just thank you, Father, for this time. All the saints said,
Amen.
Let's worship the Lord together, and then we're going to have some food. Thank you.